fellowship of riding up here with Brother Keith and Sister Pat, and pray for her. She's got just had knee surgery, and of course, she's not alone. Wilson had knee surgery. I tell you, everybody's getting knee surgery.
Yeah.
So I think I don't know. Somebody told me it's because we're getting older, but I think he's lying.
Yeah.
The Lord did protect us and bless us greatly during this the hurricane. I mean, it was a Category 2 hurricane. It was not a small thing. But and by the time they were done prognosticating, the line went right through our church parking lot and continued on right in my house. And, the Lord's in control.
Yes, he is.
He loves us. Yep. He's going to take care of us. But that doesn't mean you don't get a little nervous about stuff. Like
right,
that.
Right.
I was thinking about all, the trees I'm going to have to saw up and all the damage. And I hope my road doesn't wash out and the creek and the whole thing. And the Lord got, Lord let that hurricane go right up. Or control the hurricane, it went right up to Lake Pontchartrain. And if you don't know where that is, that's east of us. And then it was headed right for us, and the Lord just made it shift over about 60 miles. And look, I didn't want it to hurt anybody and be hard on anybody. Hard on the people in New Orleans and other places over there, but it just shifted, and it went didn't. We didn't get about 3 inches of rain.
Wow!
It was little branches and things, and it really wasn't a problem at all for us. So yep. The Lord really blessed us. Power went out for 10 minutes. So during Ida, it went out for 21 days.
Yeah. Wow.
I was kind of getting ready for something a little longer. So
right.
Thank the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Say, did the Lord do that for you? Well, yeah. I mean, not for me, just for me, but for his people. He said, well, doesn't he have any people over there? Well, I'm sure he does, too. But he took care of them, too.
Right.
And whatever happens, whatever happens, the Lord does us good. So I just enjoyed the message. I'm going to preach another message, so I won't re-preach Brother Jimmy's message. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Now this parable, the parable of the nets, is one that I have heard, and I hope this doesn't sound wrong, but I have heard it preached the wrong way so many times. You say, well, so you think you're preaching it the right way? I think the Bible tells us what it means.
Yeah.
And it's not about me or me finding fault with others. But, we are responsible to make sure we preach the truth and to make sure that we let people know what the truth is.
Right.
And it's clear from the Word of God. It's not my opinion. I'll show you what I mean. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. Now, if you've ever read Gill, you know that he'll tell you what something doesn't mean for about 12 pages before he gets to telling you what he thinks it does mean. Now, I'm going to try not to do that, but I am going to tell you what a couple things, what they don't mean, because I think it's important enough. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now that's important, remember that. Gathered of every kind. Which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Right.
I want to look at the symbols here. The first one is the net. There's the sea and the fishes. Every kind is within the sea, isn't it? And the fishes, well, we know they represent good and bad because it said so. There were good fishes and there were bad fishes. Those that were to be kept and those that were to be cast away. So, it's the world, the sea. That's kind of universally understood. But the net, a lot of people don't understand what the net is. Some will tell you the net is the church. Well, they're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I know that sounds very bold of me, and it doesn't sound very compromising of me, but I'm not allowed to compromise the word of God.
No, you're not.
It's not the church, because church is not universal. The church does not contain the lost. So remember the net now. It took in every kind. And we know, so we got the sea and the fishes, those two symbols were clearly explained by this parable. The sea, well, that's clearly the world, because you're casting your net out into the world. The fishes, there's good and bad. That's humanity. Those that will be cast, it says here, and shall cast into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the wicked will be separated from the just.
Yep.
People. So you've got the world, that's the sea. You've got fishes that are people. And that net contains good and bad. The church does not contain the lost.
Right, right.
So it's even incongruous with a universal church view to believe that the net is the church. Universal church is wrong.
Right.
It's not the word of God.
Yeah.
But even if somebody believed that the church was universal, that is, included every single saved person, well, that couldn't be the net, right? Because
right.
The net
right.
contains the unjust, the wicked. So the net's not the church. Further and more importantly, I would say to you, the net is not the church, because the church is not universal, and that net is.
Yeah.
It takes in everybody and everything. It just goes out and includes it all.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's the resurrection.
Nope.
Some claim it is. Many will claim it is. There's even plenty that are sovereign grace that will claim it is. But it's not. There's not just one resurrection. You see, if the net were the resurrection, then you'd have the unjust and the just being resurrected at the same time. One general, because remember that net is general. That net is universal. There would have to be one general resurrection, and there is not. There are two resurrections, and not only are they separate in type, in other words, there is a resurrection unto life, and there's a resurrection unto eternal death. Eternal existence, but death. There's a life, there is a resurrection under eternal condemnation. That is, there will be those that will receive a brand new body. And it'll be a brand new body.
Yeah.
Lost people. Every single lost man, woman, boy, or girl that dies in their sin, everyone lost and dies lost, will receive a new body. Mm-hmm. Now that body won't be like our body.
No.
It will be able to feel pain. In fact, that's the point. You remember the burning bush that burned and burned and burned and never burned up?
Right, right.
Well, that's what their bodies will do. Their bodies will burn, but they'll never be consumed.
Right, right.
Their bodies will burn, and the burning will last forever. And the Bible even tells us the smoke will rise up into heaven, and you know what it'll smell like? Justice. Judgment. The righteous judgment of God.
Amen.
And then, well, we know, because we've heard a lot of preaching about that new body that we're going to receive. Those of us that receive the resurrection of the life. Those that are saved. Well, Brother Jimmy preached about that. Two different types of resurrections.
Yep.
And not only that,
right,
they're separated by time.
Yep,
they don't
take
place at the same time.
No, they don't.
The first resurrection, and I don't have time to get into all, so I won't, but I'll just briefly say the first resurrection began with Christ. He was
yes,
the first
it did. Yes, so it did.
And then it will continue to the rapture. Well, that's when it'll continue, is at the rapture. And then, after the rapture, ask yourself this question. Will anybody be saved after the rapture? Well, yeah. Well, we know that. Jews will for sure. Yeah. I mean, if we don't agree on anything else about the 7 years of the great tribulation of Jacob's trouble, at the end of it, the remnant of the Jews of Israel shall be saved.
That's right.
And they're going to have to get their new bodies.
Yeah. Right, right.
But turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. I want to show you something about the separation of these resurrections. I want to show you something about the timing. Though the details of the first resurrection, or the resurrection unto life, we know some of them quite specifically. There are disagreements as to when those people that are saved during the 7 years of Jacob's trouble receive their resurrected bodies. And I'd be happy to discuss that with you if you care to. I believe the Bible tells us the answer, but it's not necessary for this message. There's also a question as to whether anybody's going to be saved during the millennial kingdom. Some believe they're up. Some believe they won't. I won't argue with anybody on a point like that, but I can tell you this much for a fact. See, I can't tell you everything because the Bible doesn't tell you everything.
It doesn't.
I'm just as dumb as a rock. The only thing I can do is repeat what the Lord said.
Amen.
I can't make anything up. I can't give you any special insight. If the Lord didn't say it, I don't know. Preachers, you know, it would really help some preachers just to be able to say, I don't know. It's okay not to know if God didn't say so.
Right, right.
Right? But here's what God said very clearly about this. We'll start in verse 3. And the devil, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And he'll deceive, as we know, the heathen that were being ruled by a rod of iron,
right,
by our Lord, and the 1,000-year reign. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, which for Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, so this is all the saved, all the saved ever. I can tell you this for a fact. No one is saved after this point.
Right.
So here we are at the end of the millennial kingdom. And the rest of the dead, everyone who has died. Now, I won't go into great detail, but there's the battle of Gog and Magog. And at the battle of Gog and Magog, when Satan is released, and you can find these scriptures, much of it is in the New Testament, a good deal in Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, a good deal of it in Revelation. Basically, at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the devil will be released. He will deceive the nations. That is referring to all the lost, every single lost human being.
Right.
Man, woman, boy, girl. He will deceive them, and they will all come together to fight against Christ.
Yeah.
And, of course, he'll defeat them all. Now, Armageddon, they only sent their armies.
Yeah.
But Battle of Gog and Magog, everybody's going to show up. Everybody's coming against Christ. So that's the rest of the dead. They're all dead now. By the end of the millennial kingdom, at the end of the Battle of Gog and Magog, and it's not going to be a long battle.
No, it's not.
Christ's going to say, if you open his mouth and speak and say, die, and they're going to die. Well, I don't know if he'll say, because it doesn't tell us. It says he's going to be open. He's going to use the sword of his mouth. Whatever he says is not the point. It's the word he speaks is going to kill them all.
Yeah.
They're all going to be dead. So now you've got the rest of the dead. Now, why does it say the rest of the dead? Well, because all of the saved have been resurrected. You might disagree and have some difference of opinions as to the after the rapture. Up to the rapture, that's pretty clear. After that, exactly when everybody's going to get their new bodies. Now, like I said, I think the Bible is pretty clear on it, but I'm not going to argue. I think the important thing is to understand at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the resurrection is over. First resurrection. That's the resurrection unto life.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
Nobody else is ever going to be saved. Nobody else is therefore going to get a new body. You're going to be resurrected in the first resurrection. That new body unto life. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That is, everybody that was resurrected up until the rest of the dead. That's the first resurrection. The 1,000 years is finished. That closes the first resurrection for certain. We know that for a fact. Okay. So when does the second resurrection happen? Well, it happens soon after the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the first resurrection, the resurrection unto life, is over. Now, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. That's why I said it was a resurrection unto death, this second resurrection, because it is the second death. It's not just the dying from this world. It is a second death that is an eternal death.
Right.
It is eternally dying.
Right.
Existing.
Exactly.
It's not the end of existence.
No.
They will exist forever.
Right.
And be dying. And burning. A body that will catch fire, that will burn, but will never burn up. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no part, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together, to battle the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, because it's all the rest of humanity. Everyone is not saved. Everybody who at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ is lost. It's every one of them. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints, about and beloved city, and fire came down from out of heaven and devoured them. Christ opens his mouth, it tells us elsewhere in Revelation, and they're just completely devoured. Fire, he brings down fire from heaven.
Right.
And every one of them is dead. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And then there's the judgment. They're all dead. And then comes the judgment.
There comes the judgment.
And at the end of the judgment, at the end of the judgment, every last one of them will be cast into the lake of fire with this new body that they have.
Yeah.
This new body prepared so they can perfectly suffer. Now, they're suffering now, those in hell. The Bible tells us that. I don't understand it, but they don't have a body. They're going to receive a body so that they can perfectly suffer. So what is the net? We haven't gotten to the net. We've found out what the net is. He gave me the opportunity to preach on the resurrection. But what is the net? That's why I thought it was important to preach on what it's not, because I think that these principles that the church is local and visible and not universal, that needs to be established. Now, I know that we know that. It still needs to be established.
Right,
it still needs to be stated. We need to hear it all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not the net.